This is After the Final Rose with Dante and Alana, a siblings podcast talking everything Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Welcome back into After the Final Rose. You're probably wondering who the heck this is. Alana will not be here this week. Busy, shocker. So I'm here with John Vicari, another Bachelor enthusiast, also with me at Ithaca College. So welcome, John.
Ah, thanks, Dante. I'm filling in for Alana, Alana Virgo, and I'm not up to it. I'll tell you, in terms of matching her greatness on this podcast, I've been listening for a long time, and I'm glad to be a part of it. So I'm you know, fill in role this week, and again, just happy to be a part of it.
Of course. And clearly you didn't get the suit memo, so I'm disappointed.
No. Well, you, again.
I'm just kidding.
I should have.
I'm kidding.
I thought it was fancy enough, but yeah.
I'm kidding. I had a day where I had to wear it, so I felt like maybe I'll wear it for tonight's episode. And
you look great.
You know, add some extra jazz. But all right, so let's dive into last night's episode of The Bachelorette. It's the second episode. We have, I believe, like 23 guys left. So she kicked off about six, seven in the last episode. So the first date, it's sort of like a teaching. Like they're like kind of like a classroom. They put them up to these games. What were your thoughts on that date?
Well, I think we've seen it before. Don't quote me on that, but I feel like we've seen it before. But I liked it especially because, hey, she is a teacher. It's not just some gimmick. This is her. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, it is for the show, but this is her life. This is. I don't know if they were her real students or not. They're very cute kids. They're very.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because it's in summer, so maybe they could have flown the kids there. That's what I was wondering. I don't think they really touched on that.
Yeah, because I mean, they had some attitude. They were all three of them were pretty funny at times. The main one was, and I don't want to spoil it, but with Peter owning him about the pizza shop. He's like, I own a pizza shop, and I'm an entrepreneur. And one of the kids is like, okay, great, like just completely destroyed him. So I thought that was probably my takeaway in terms of from the date. But it was really cool. Obviously, these guys aren't the smartest group. Neither am I. Some of those questions, I was like, geez, like some of them were tough, even on a whiteboard given, but they handled themselves well. And some of them, I think, made some connections while others hurt themselves in the process.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if you watched Peter's season of The Bachelor, but this was similar to a date with him. It was at like I don't even think it was an airport. It was kind of like one of those big garages where they keep planes. And they kind of did the same thing. Like they had it angled towards like flying, but it was similar in a way where they had to pull up the whiteboards. They had to do math and stuff like that and spell, and neither that didn't go well either. But before we go any further, I want to mention that Brandon J, Romeo, Rick, PJ, Will, sorry if I pronounce this wrong, Alameda, Casey, Danny, LT, and Peter, we're on this date. And also to mention, this is the first group date of the year, and I'm trying to think of what to say, but usually like the first group dates, you never see like the how do I say this, like the stunning figures or like the ones you think are going to end up with her. Those are usually sometimes smaller dates or the one-on-one in the first episode. So I thought the cast for this one was interesting, but somebody that did catch my eye, believe that would be Brandon. He does end up getting the first impression rose from Michelle, but he also, you know, they talked about how their connection was so great, but in their conversation together later on in the night, it just felt so awkward. I don't know if you remember exactly that conversation. It just felt awkward. And I could tell he was kind of trying to think of something to say because he didn't know what to say. And then she was like, why are you staring into my soul? And he said something like, I got to get a read of you. But I don't believe that. I don't think he knew what to say.
Yeah, I wrote down, not a great speller, good kisser. And I think I can save him because it did. I mean, honestly, like when he shut up and they kissed, it was probably for the best. And that's not to knock him in any way. He was just flustered by the moment. It's tough. You're on, you know, you're on national TV and you got to converse with someone you do barely know, especially in the beginning. So, you know, he held his own, but I know what you're talking about, where it was this awkwardness and he sort of was like, he was staring and she was like a little like, oh, and they tried to play it off as a joke, but you can tell she was like, dude, say something, you know, but yeah, he got the rose. I wouldn't put him in the top contenders in terms of connections right now, but hey, he impressed enough to get one of the roses this week.
So something I failed to mention and I skipped over it, and it was probably the most important part of this whole entire group day and something that became big during the week. But so they asked the students to spell narcissist, the students as in the guys, to spell narcissist. And I don't remember his name. Will wrote Peter on the whiteboard as in Peter's like a narcissist, and that just just pissed off Peter. I mean, I'd be pissed off too, but he was making everything about him, and that's one of the main parts of being a narcissist. And I mean, was he wrong?
No, well, that's the funny thing. After each question, he had like a little side comment. Not that the guys weren't talking, you know, it wasn't like they had to be silent during class or anything. They were all side talking and certain comments were caught on air, but he would make it a point. And then, as you mentioned, or as I mentioned earlier with the pizza, he's like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I have the pizza and this and that. And the kids are just like, all right, relax. Like, even the kids are like, relax, dude. It's okay. Like, you don't have to overextend yourself here. And, you know, it was pretty risky, I think, from Will to sort of go after him, you know, not because he's a contender in any way, because I don't believe he is, but just because, hey, you know, the focus is on Michelle, or is it supposed to be? You're not supposed to be sidetracked by him, even if you do think that he's acting like a bit of a jerk or a narcissist, I guess would fit better. But, you know, I mean, it made for great television, and then I'm sure you'll get into what happens a little later in the show, but yeah.
But also to add, it's so early on. This is the first group date. You don't know the guy. In terms of Will writing that, I just think it's really early. And here's the thing is, you write that, like, you're automatically not going far. Same with Peter with his reaction, but you really got to be careful with your words in the beginning, because that sticks with you going throughout it. Because once you become the villain once, you stay the villain all season. And I just think he shot himself in the foot way too early. And I think he stepped out of bounds. Was he right? Probably. But he stepped a little out of bounds too early. And I think it's going to be telling for the rest of the season if he goes far.
I mean, obviously the first impression is when you show up to the house and you have to, you know, sweep Michelle off her feet in terms of, or just, you know, just try to make a connection in that first night cocktail party. But this was the first date. This was the first time you're in action. And no matter what, when you're trying to, you know, evaluate a person, whether you want to spend more time with them, it's how they act in public settings and in group settings. And even in her case, in the classroom. And that was sort of like, you know, I mean, obviously Peter's not getting a great approval either, but as you mentioned, Will's sort of the one who's bothered by the class clown or is trying to make trouble with somebody. And that, you know, that's not tolerated in real life. And I'm sure Michelle didn't.
Yeah, and we fast forward a little bit that they're screaming at each other while Michelle is talking to the other guys, like very loud too, and they're very aggressive to each other. And it's just, you could have avoided all this by just not writing that. And then she actually pulls Peter aside later on the night to kind of talk about it. And she like apologized and yada yada, and he doesn't like him, his character being questioned, whatever. And like she mentioned, because I was very curious, you know, obviously from a technical standpoint, they're going to edit the screaming over her talking to the other guys, but she mentions that she heard it and that she could distinctly tell that it was his voice. And that's where I was like, oh, you're in deep shit. You're in deep shit.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go off with Peter, I don't think. I already think he's in a hole. And I don't think the conversation with Michelle went great. I don't know. I'd be curious to see what happens going forward.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, but you answered my question about if they edited the music or the yelling over that conversation, because I think she was with Rodney at that point, and you could sort of hear, I don't quote me on that, but it was sort of like a bed of that yelling. Like, it wasn't so loud where she was like, what is that? But you could sort of faintly hear it. And maybe that was the case. Maybe it was editing. I think you're right. But it was loud enough, or she caught wind of it, that it was him. And, you know, again, just not a good look. And I'm sure we'll get a little more or talk further on Peter. But he's the Victoria of this season. He's going to be a guy who's kept around because of the drama. He's got no shot. He's pretty much a bad look for all Italian Americans. He's a walking stereotype, but he's entertaining. He is. Yeah. And, you know, he's one of the, you know, I do have a lot of notes on him just because he was a big focal point of this episode, not the main one, but mm-hmm. for the first half of it, he was, because just he was being him. And, you know, originally when he came on, I thought he was someone to root for just because he was like, hey, oh,
he's a pizza man.
Like, yeah. I thought he was going to be what Rodney is, which is my favorite character of comic relief. He's not. He's, you know, he pisses me off. So,
yeah. I don't know. I don't see him going too far. I think he'll be on for a couple weeks, but his personality mixed with Michelle is not going to work out. I don't think so anyway. But so following the group date, we mentioned Brandon does get the one-on-one. The first impression rose. I wasn't shocked by it, but I guess I saw other guys in front of him that I felt had better conversations at least and was not awkward. But what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? So after the group date, they bring a group date card to the house. Jamie's name is on it, and they go on like a rock climbing kind of at Joshua Tree National Park. It was cool. We haven't seen rock climbing in a while. I remember distinctly back to Sean's season way back. You wouldn't know, but way back, Sean's season, they did rock climbing. See that? It's not that I'm afraid of heights, but I don't trust equipment. And if I don't trust possibly falling and those things snapping, but I respect them for doing that. And what's interesting is, unless I'm just not remembering, but did they ever get to the top?
Maybe they edited around it. I think they did. It was sort of like there wasn't that moment, because I think we would have remembered if there was, where they're just on the top and they, the crew caught a great, you know, sight line of their view looking out. But it really wasn't. The main takeaway was that she was just like glad she sort of had a teammate, to put in, the sports terms, where she feels like she's the coach, she's a teacher in her job, where he was willing to coach her up. Not I wouldn't say like mansplain or anything, but help.
Yeah, she did say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that she always felt like she was coaching the other person. But in this case, he was coaching her. That brings up something I want to talk about later, just in terms of the overplay of sports in this. Just to hear your thoughts on it. But so with the date, you know, they went rock climbing, and I might look back, because I don't remember them getting to the top. Yeah. And that would be funny, because I remember them standing and they couldn't figure out how to get up on the next step. And I just remember it cutting, but that's something I might have to go back and look at. But moving along to his dinner part of the date, they, you know, they're having a deep conversation. He's talking about his past, and he brings up how when he was 24, his mom had died by suicide. And obviously, like, that's a horrible thing to go through. And he talked about how it pretty much imploded his whole life. Nothing really mattered anymore. And he finally decided kind of that, you know, life was worth it. People are worth it. Relationships are worth it. And, you know, he started to see people, and then he comes on this show. I think that's a big step forward, because I couldn't imagine what he's going through. And then to put that on a national scale on The Bachelorette, it just makes it even more powerful.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck with me from when he was talking about it was just the fact that he said he was at school and he was worried about, you know, his mom. And, I'm here at class, maybe she's somewhere and she's in danger and she's going to, you know, kill herself. Which is, and I mean, that's just terrible to think about, that that's something that he had to worry about for, I mean, most of his young adult life at that until 24. So that's just, I mean, it was really tragic. And obviously, you know, I think Jamie specifically was the focal point of this episode in terms of character and a lot of things conflicted in terms of thoughts. I'm sure the audience's reaction and people on Twitter, this and that, because you feel for the guy, but at other times you don't because of other actions. But I mean, I couldn't imagine going through someone through that with one of my friends, nonetheless, you know, my mom or my dad. So that really stuck with me.
Yeah. And you could tell how much that connected them. And she began to trust him. She said, in a quote, "I don't know you that well, but I'm so proud of what you come through and how you conduct yourself." And, you know, that line actually is interesting, how you conduct yourself, because of what happens later on the episode, which we'll get to. But I think they had a good conversation. You know, he got it all out there, and we see on the show, if you get it out there early, you go further. So depending on how this whole thing unfolds, he could be I wouldn't say a front runner, but at least up there in terms of one of the top people this season. Also, to finish that date, there was a private performance by Caroline Jones. I've never heard of her, never heard of the song. But I mean, we see that a lot nowadays with the concerts or performers they bring on. They're just up and coming artists that could use this platform to get bigger, which isn't a bad thing, but. So second group date, shocker. It's a basketball date. I'm sure this is not the last basketball date, this season. So it's a basketball game. And they brought in WNBA stars, Derek Hamby and Diamond DeShields. I think this is the first season, at least that I can remember, that they brought in, female athletes for a date, which I think is awesome. And especially because they'll bring in male athletes for women's seasons. And it's like, I mean, I get it, but like, you could have brought in female athletes. I remember, I don't know if you watched Hannah B's season, but Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier were on it. which I mean, I love, but
that's crazy.
But you could have brought in, I don't know, someone else.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Go on.
I'm trying to remember the I apologize because it was so recent. Was it Hannah Ann whose dad was the assistant at Tennessee
Madison Pruitt's dad was the assistant to he was like the third assistant down the line at Auburn.
Yes, thank you. At Auburn, thank you. Yeah, that was
because I can't remember if she played at Auburn too. I just remember she was like an all-state, three-time state champion.
That was the thing, to play to your point, because they brought in Bruce Pearl and they brought in Charles Barkley.
Oh, like, yes. You know, I forgot about that.
You're just pretty much jogging my memory because I was completely off. But, you know, they brought in those guys when it's like, you know, she could play too. Not to saying, you know, maybe bring in one of her teammates because if they maybe weren't of a high enough level, I guess, in terms of Bachelor. Mm-hmm. But, like, you didn't need Barkley there, in my opinion. You know, I don't think he added much, and I'm a Charles Barkley fan. But, you know, that was an opportunity to do so. I'm glad they did it for this stage. I think they served as coaches in the game. I don't think they highlighted that as much as they should. I would have loved to see more of the game, but that's the sports fan in me. But, you know. Yeah.
They probably got to be careful. Not get injured, because I know this was shooting during the summer, which would be the season. My big question is, was this during All-Star break? Because how do you get one person from the Aces and one person from the Sky at the same time during season? I think way too much behind the scenes. So I'm assuming either they're both hurt or they, I don't know, it was All-Star break maybe? Or technically the Olympic break was like 3 weeks long for them. So that's what it could have been. I'm thinking too much.
It's all good.
Of course. But like most sporting events, they split them into two teams. The winning team gets to go have the date with the Bachelorette. The losing team goes home. And Michelle knew Joe was a baller in high school and in college. I think she mentioned, I don't remember if it's her or Joe that played for Minnesota. That's something I might have to look up.
This is something I did look up. Joe played for Minnesota, and Michelle played for Bradley University.
So okay.
Yeah.
Is Bradley the one in Boston?
I think it is. Like, yeah, she did not
play. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple Bradleys, yeah. But
she it's in Missouri, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Got a little text actually from Jackson there. But in terms of one of our other roommates, given pretty much producer of this episode, not really.
Oh yeah, good.
No, but she, like, they both were the same, or she almost was. She mentions it that she was runner up Minnesota Player of the Year the same year he was, and that sort of started the fuel for what the second half of the episode was, the fine guy. But yeah, it was interesting that I think that they've never met. Obviously, we know about the DM situation, but they were both top high school athletes in the state of Minnesota at the same exact time.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, I mean, actually really cool because I'll have to go back and watch their highlight tapes. But to win that, you got to be good. Just to win player, like the player of the year in your state, like that's sick. But so heading into halftime, Joe's team was down like 28 to like 15, and Joe just goes Curry mode, Steph Curry to be exact, but and just shoots lights out, and he hits like 5 threes in a row, or I mean at least edited 5 threes in a row, just goes insane, gets it close. I think like the ending score was like 30 to 28 or something like that. Kind of abruptly ended, but they, Joe's team lost. And like I mentioned before, they send the losing team home and the winning team gets to go on a date. But they named an MVP for the game, and that was Joe. So Joe got to go to the night portion of the date and get more time with Michelle. Do you think this whole MVP thing was just made on the spot?
Absolutely. And it's funny because you obviously didn't see the full game, but they, you know, cut up the Joe highlights pretty much. And Malik, he's 36 years old. He caught a couple of the alley-oops from Joe and scored as well. He had a great game. He's 36 years old. Joe's still 28. Joe's 36. He got screwed, and the other teammates really didn't do much based on the highlights. But I think they made this entirely on the spot just based on her reactions, you know. And
probably.
It was a great job doing it because, I mean, you know, the other guys were like, oh, how could you be the MVP in a loss? I mean, the only reason that game was close is because of
Joe.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's fun. Like, I know we're breaking down sports now on a Bachelor podcast, but it's like, that's a part of her life in terms of what she wants. She wants someone. I mean, honestly, if you're thinking of commitment relationships and then family that might come with that, having someone who is also good at basketball and to share that love onto the kid, the skill, that's part of her thinking process. I'm not saying it's overall number one or even in the top 5 or 10, but it's a part of it. So that does matter. Maybe it's unfair, but it does matter in terms of getting her. So, you know, or starting a relationship with her, I should say. So it is an important factor, even though, you know, again, it was a goofy game. And one final note, I was wondering about this because this is where, of course, my mind goes to the who's going to do play-by-play, because usually Harrison, and of course, he's gone. So I was waiting for who they pick. I didn't know if it was going to be Tayshia, who they throw in that role. And they hired actually a local news guy, which, you know, which is pretty cool, but it was no one worth, you know, a big celebrity note. But I was wondering, I was like, oh, because it'd always be Chris Harrison in these roles. And obviously he's ousted from the show. So
I loved Chris Harrison in that role. And they also, Wells is sometimes in there. He would have been cool. Or just bring in somebody. Obviously, it's a quick date. So it's tough to just fly him in and out, but somebody like Joe Buck or like, I don't know, Troy Aikman.
This man's got plenty of them. I don't.
Oh, ABC. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't. But that's a nerd thing for us. And everyone else is just like, who cares, guys? But we do. So
I did think it was funny. If you watch the credit scene, I don't know if you did, but he did introduction videos and it was really funny because he was just kind of roasting everybody. That's something. But let me ask you this: do you think, in terms of like the MVP, do you think it was her more of, how do I say this, being impressed with his play or just wanting more time with him?
I think, honestly, because before what preceded that was them doing one-on-one, and from Curry, Ray, and John, and by the way, too, which I was very impressed by. I was like, that's a deep, like, that was Pat, not a woman's three, not a man's three. That was Curry range that she hit from. That was pretty sweet. And but I think they, once they saw that, they were like, you know what, we should have him part of this group date, you know. So I think that that was part of it. So I think that's the reason. And it was a good call from the Bachelor producers. Again, like, maybe, you know, if you have a winning losing mentality, you're just like, hey, no, they lost, they should have been home. But he literally carried the team. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of seasons we see them just be like, oh, I guess we're just going to let the losing team come.
Yeah, exactly. That too. Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes they stick their ground. But so in the group, in the night portion, we get to see other conversations, but obviously the main focus is Joe. And he talks about how earlier in the day he got a phone call, which technically they're not allowed phones there. So I'm sure someone in his family got in contact with producers, but one of his coaches that meant a lot to him passed away. And he was a big part of his life. He brings it up to Michelle, and, you know, she understood. And she obviously, as an athlete, she knows like how much a coach can mean to you. And especially if you, I don't know, kind of were under them for a while, it means even more. And I think she started to sort of fall for Joe in that moment. And you could see a relationship forming, and it doesn't have to do with what happened before the show. It's what's happening now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll get away from specific sports. Cause okay. Yeah. It was a coach, but you know, losing anyone, it's really relatable for everyone. Not to say that, you know, her consoling him wasn't special by any means, but that's, you know, that happens in a course of a relationship where you're with someone and they lose someone, and you may not have known that person that they lost, but you know, your job is to comfort, and you relate to it in some way because everyone's lost someone that was special to them through the course of life. So, you know, that I thought that was really cool. And again, as much as this episode specifically was goofy with the sports and the fighting and this and that, there's a lot of, in my opinion, some like real moments, quote unquote. And
So that conversation kind of sparked a lot in terms of the house, because it went on for a while. The guys started to notice, and I think Joe had mentioned he had mentioned like how, talking about Joe, how he was like a quiet guy, and then flips to Martin, who's like, Joe is a silent assassin. And they, you know, the things are starting to brew, and now they're starting to question, does Michelle know Joe? They both grew up in Minnesota. They both come from the same state, played basketball. And that's where things kind of just start to spiral into the cocktail party where, I'm already blanking on his name, Jamie, he decided he'll bring it up. And he talks about with the other guys how this is like an issue to him, and he needs it to be addressed. And it sort of flips in the conversation with Michelle, and he's like, yeah, I don't have an issue with it, but a lot of the guys in the house are starting to get concerned, which is completely different from what he just said 5 seconds earlier. And then that's where, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but you start to question, like, this Jamie guy, like, obviously he's sincere in a way, but is he, obviously you're in it for yourself, but he completely flips, and you're like, all right, we're not getting the real Jamie.
Earlier on the show, I sort of was like, you know what? I like how blunt he's being in terms of, hey, if this one-on-one doesn't work, there's no connection there. There's no reason for me to be there. Because I feel like, hey, you know what? He's right. Like, if there's not an initial, I'm not saying you have to fall in love, first date, whatever. But if you don't come up with that initial connection, then, you know, as you're, you know, wait for not to get a rose. Hey, I could leave, you know, make it, it's better for on her party and better for you as well. And then he kept saying stuff, which makes me just think he's so pompous. You know, it wasn't being blunt and being like, oh, more of a realist. It was just, this guy's, you know, a bit of a jerk. And that's the vibe that I got from him. You know, and it's tough. Again, I think most Bachelor fans, Bachelorette fans, people watching this show and this episode specifically, were going through the waves with him, where they were relating to him. And then they were like, I can't root for this guy. So, you know, that's tough. And that's, again, why I think he's the vocal point of this episode, because it's just up and down with him the entire time.
Yeah. And he, so to kind of go further into that conversation, he not only asked Michelle whether or not he knew Joe before, he also brings up how one of his friends from Minnesota saw Michelle like sometime over the summer before the show. And she was coming out of a bar with another guy, and she was caught off guard by that. She addresses it later, but you could tell that not that he like lost trust in her, but that he was questioning her. And I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't like it if someone was questioning me like that, especially when like we know her situation with Joe before this. And then I'm sure that it wasn't anything with this guy coming out of the bar, especially you're going on The Bachelorette. You're not going to test out the water in another relationship. So I don't know that this whole conversation with Jamie, I don't think it went well. And it got Michelle riled up a little bit.
It's one thing to be confronted and maybe be in the guilty party, but that was not the case at all. So she's being confronted about this on national TV and then has to obviously tell the truth, which is the truth. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, it hurt on a lot of ways. Not so much, I think, being questioned, because I think that's going to happen throughout the show. Maybe not questioned, but there's going to be real conversations about, oh, do you want to have a kid? Do you actually see yourself with me in 5 years? Whatever, just because the guys want to form that connection, they might think that's the best way to do so. And obviously the stages of their relationship grow as the show gets further on. But this was an attack, pretty much. It was pretty much like parallel to the first episode where I forget the guy who it was who wrote all those notes and stuff, and it came out of nowhere for him. Yeah. On the attack and this and that, and it's a tough spot to be in, and for her even doubly so, because she knows what, like, this is just an assumption, this is just rumor, this is just speculation, none of that was true. Yeah, it was true that she might have been spotted with what they defined as a light-skinned male who was into basketball, but I mean that's not a good enough description to validate that they were in a relationship at all. And I mean, if it were actually true in terms of that, it would have got around to these producers. Someone on social media would have it for her season. So, to bring that up for them and to try, and you know, he mentioned to Jamie that he was trusting his friends in that spot, and I don't know why he did.
Yeah, and just don't bring it up. You never question whoever the bachelor or bachelorette is. Like earlier, it doesn't end well. But so she kind of takes a moment to herself. She leaves Jamie. She ends up talking to Tayshia, and she told her she'd never relationship with Joe. She'd never relationship with anybody prior to coming, and that everyone started with an even playing field. And she ends up, walking in to all the guys to talk to them. I don't think she talked to everybody that night, and she wanted to tell them first. Like I just mentioned, everybody came in on the same playing field. Yeah, she did know Joe. And she actually mentioned, which I thought was funny, that they exchanged messages, but then Joe ghosted her. Which, I mean, is fair. And I just don't know if it's the best to tell everybody that, because then you start to question Joe. But, and she also talked about, you had just mentioned how Jamie brought up how he was a light-skinned man with Michelle, and she brought that up, and how that being a light-skinned man doesn't mean they are in a relationship, but if, or that you assume that since she's with light-skinned man, they were in a relationship, but if it was her and a white man, it'd be completely different. And she sort of is annoyed by that. And she's just annoyed with the whole situation in general. And all the guys are just confused. Like three of them are like, I had no clue that this was going on, that she knew Joe before. And she addressed it as everybody in the house. So that just stirs up a bunch of drama, and everybody's, just there and not knowing what is going on.
I mean, we overlook it just because Matt James was the trailblazer in this sense. But to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dante, she's the first Black bachelorette. So
she's actually technically the third.
Oh, actually,
because you have Rachel. Tayshia, I mean, she came on like halfway through the season.
I know. That's what I mean.
She still finished the season, obviously. But technically, she's the third.
Okay, so it's still, though, I would say that, one, it's a small number, and two, that, again, it's a tough spot to be in because there's people out there who are rooting for you to wind up with someone, and I think that happens every season, but it, I think, may be a little more base in this specific case. And I think she feels the pressure of that, and she shouldn't. It's a shame that she does, but she put it out there that the assumptions that people do make, and there's going to be people rooting for certain people just so it goes a certain way. And I mean, that's the fun of the show. Of course, everyone has their favorites, especially towards the tail end. But in terms of that, it's, you know, again, it's a difficult spot for her to be in national TV. And again, as she even mentioned herself, anytime she's out, people could assume these things just because she's a public figure, and they, you know, their hope is, again, rooting for that to happen. Like, she might be on a, you know, she might be going out to lunch with a dude and it might be her lawyer for something, or she's a high school friend. And, but people are going to assume, take a picture of a post on social media, and rumors are going to swirl because she at this point is a celebrity. So it's a tough spot to be in for her. And I think she put that out there the best of, you know, I think she put that out there, and it was a wake up call to a lot of these people. And the guys have to realize as well, if you're going to come with an accusation or with a question, that it has to be not fueled by rumors. So.
Oh yeah. And I feel like, you know, I do a lot of digging and reading and stuff, and I feel like I never saw anything on it. And you mentioned that before, like, people would take pictures. Like, I just wonder how it wasn't mentioned anywhere. Probably because I assume because, like, the people in the setting knew that was nothing, maybe. And I don't know. I was just kind of surprised that it wasn't out there. But then again, like, obviously you don't need to be in a relationship with who you go out to eat with. It could have been a coworker. Could have been like her boss. I don't want to say her boss. But just somebody else. Cousin. But I think it was a good conversation to have, especially to display on national television. But so they end up canceling the cocktail party. She's emotionally drained, and go straight into the, something I also want to mention before I go into the rose ceremony. Jamie wouldn't own up to all this. He's the one who brought it up to her, obviously. And all the guys are literally talking to him too, and are like, who the heck would do this? You have to be so low to do this. And Jamie's like, yeah, I know, right? And it was just, he should have just said something and explained himself instead of kind of hiding behind everybody else. And I think it's going to come out at some point, I would assume. I'm sure in the next episode that it was him. So I'll be curious to see how the guys all react to that.
It was funny when they were all in a group on the couch. They, like, the cameras are on them. So I don't know. Maybe it went through one of their heads, like, all three cameras in this room are pointed on that guy. Maybe it is that guy. Like, that was the thought in my head. And then the best part, you mentioned it, just the different conversations. And, you know, one of them goes like, it was probably a bunch of people. And he's like, yeah, I think that's what happened too. And it's like, and it just follows him. He's at different spots talking about the same thing with different people, just to, you know, blend in a bit and, you know, seem like he's the rest of them. Who could have said? Hilarious.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. It'll come out eventually. I think so anyway, probably in the next episode. But so now into the rose ceremony. I mentioned they canceled the rest of the cocktail party, going straight into the rose ceremony. I feel like this is more of a constant than ever nowadays. They're just constantly canceling rose ceremony or cocktail parties. We saw it a lot in Katie's season, and now we're seeing it in the second episode with Michelle's season. But so she ends up giving a rose to Nate, Rodney, Martin, Rick, Leroy, Spencer, Casey, Chris, Malik, Alu, Corsess, Will, Romeo, LT, Clayton, and Peter. I was a little shocked she kept Peter, especially after everything that happened. I was so disappointed that I gotta look up his name real quick. That Pardeep didn't stay. He's actually the first Indian to be cast on this show, and I think that's great that they're getting more people from, you know, around the world, different ethnicities. And he's also, I don't remember if he's from New York or he went to college at Binghamton, one of the two, because I've seen a bunch of articles on it. But I always root for anybody with connections to New York, so I was sad to see him go. But yeah, I was shocked to see Peter go, stay, Mr. Pizza.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Pardeep. It says on the Bachelor website, Brooklyn, New York. So I'm guessing that's where he's from. And I didn't know he went to college in Binghamton until you told told the audience. So that we always root for the New York guys. You know, it's just what we do. But yeah, it was unfortunate to see him go. And his last comment to Michelle was something along the lines of, hey, I hope you find love and something like that. It was very, very nice. We barely got to know him, really. I don't even recall actually what his initial impression was to her when he walked in.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Like, that's, you know, and it sucks, but, you know, that's the process of it sometime. I'm sure some people wanted him to go a little further, but obviously wasn't there. And again, Queen Victoria is Pizza Man Peter. They're the same. They're one and the same. Yeah. Maybe they wind up together. Who knows?
She's the queen and he's the king of pizza.
There you go.
It could work. It could work. That was pretty much that from that episode. So something I wanted to bring up to get your opinion on this. We're two episodes in. Are they overplaying this basketball thing? This constantly referring to basketball. And we already got a basketball group date. I know it's going to come further in the season because we've already seen clips. But are they overplaying this basketball thing? It's like Colton when he was the Virgin Bachelor, just overplaying.
I mean, it's tough because, and obviously not to spoil anything because this is the end credits that they show, you know, they give a look into the future episodes, but they have like a Top Gun scene where they go in flight simulators.
Oh, yes.
I feel they don't have, personally, and this is no fault of Michelle, they don't have a lot of like cool date ideas that pertain just to her at a group stage. I think personally, you know, she's, you know, oh, we can go here, we can go there, we can go to this city. But in a group stage, there's not much, you know, besides the classroom thing, besides the bat, like it's got to be sports oriented because she's, you know, competition with that. And like, there's going to be a lot of cool one-on-one dates, but in group wise, I think that's the hardest. You would know better than I in terms of the producers and the people that are behind the scenes on the show trying to make it the best of their ability. Like, it's sort of, they have to make it sports based because competition is the best way to do it. And when she is, you know, was a high level athlete, a Division I athlete at Bradley, it just plays, you know. So, I think, like, for you and I, and you're already getting tired of it, and you're a huge sports fan, I'm not going to get tired of it. I love it. I love the fact that it's sports, this and that. But I could see portions of the audience being like, hey, all right, we get it, you know, show more of her teacher, more of her caring side, because that's an aspect of Michelle as well. And hopefully, I'm hoping as the season gets in further that we realize other layers of her, and then the Bachelor producer can pick that up and make a group date that's more oriented to her, you know.
And another angle they're also taking, which I feel like they usually focus on one, is the teacher angle. So it's interesting they're kind of focusing on two, and literally already in the second episode, we've already seen both angles in terms of group dates. But thinking about it, I wonder how, we've already talked about it on the podcast, so we can talk about it now, with Clayton being the next Bachelor and, Jesse Palmer as the host, how much sports talk is that going to be? Cause he played football for Missouri and the Seahawks. And then you have Palmer, who played professional football as well. He still is involved with sports, and I'm sure it's brought up many, many times in this upcoming season.
Yes, Jesse Palmer, one of the worst Giants quarterbacks of all time. But yeah, no, it's gonna be sports. It's gonna be sports oriented with him. I'm surprised. I'm guessing they're gonna go further into him. He doesn't feel like Bachelor quality to me yet. But I'm sure, again, it's a little too early. We're jumping the gun 2 weeks in, but I'm surprised they chose him. I think there's going to be, obviously there, I think there has to be a scene or something that will have people being like, yeah, he's the guy. He's a good looking dude. Not slamming him there. It's just, he, you know, the ways he's commented has all been just like, I feel like I should be on this. I feel like I should. That's all we've heard from, you know, just feeling like
something's going to come eventually because he must have done something that just wowed them and that we haven't seen yet, because they would never cast somebody before seeing the media and the viewers' reactions. So that'll be interesting. But I mean, we're talking about a future Bachelor. Let's talk quickly about a former Bachelorette, Katie and Blake split. People aren't surprised. I think they were two very similar people, but their lifestyles were very different. He travels a lot. I'm just shocked to see this split come so quick. I don't believe you watched Katie season.
I caught some of it. I like maybe the first two episodes. It was sort of like where, because it was the summer, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why I was very busy. So I just I wanted to, and I remember too, just from you telling me that it was like, hey, this one's going to be a really short season because she's so direct and she knows what she wants and that, and that's, you know, that was, I think, the theme of the season. And that's why it's surprising that obviously it didn't work out, because I felt like she has a really good head on her shoulders. She knows what she wants. She's gone through a lot in terms of relationships and dealing with people, and that she would just pick one and it would be, you know, like as maybe cruel as it sounds, but she would be, you know, she tests the group and then pick one and that would be it, because, you know, she wouldn't be debating back and forth as most Bachelor and Bachelorettes do. And I think that was shocking. Again, I didn't really see how they came together, so I can't comment any further on that, but just based on her on that season, I'm very surprised.
Yeah. I'll be very curious to see if she tries to link up with somebody from her season, especially, I actually put a video on my Twitter, a combination of videos, and it was Andrew S, and he said to her multiple times, when he got sent home, he was like, if you ever, for some crazy reason, end up single, I'll always be here. Mm-hmm. And she like ran after him, was like, will you stay? And he was like, at this point, like, I can't go through you sending me home again. So I'll be very curious to see if she tries to test the water with somebody else.
Yeah, maybe there'll be the Joe and what was not Serena, obviously, the
Kendall.
Maybe there'll be the Joe and Kendall the next Paradise season.
Oh yeah, I mean, if she's single by then, she'll be on Paradise. I would not be surprised at all, especially since how successful the Becca situation was. They won't be afraid to send a former Bachelorette on. Could see Peter too. You never know. You know what's crazy is that I can't even say this, but like Matt James and Rachel are somehow like one of the most successful couples at this point, because Dale and Claire broke up. Mm-hmm. Peter, I don't even remember who he ended with. He ended up with like two people. We ended up with Madison and then left her, or no, wanted Madison, ended up with Hannah. Hannah didn't want him anymore. Tried going back to Madison. Madison didn't want him anymore. Went to Kelly. Kelly dumped him. But people are, what's so crazy is if you would ask me a month ago, so many relationships were still going from former Bachelor, Bachelorettes. And we've seen like three breakoffs since then.
I'm sure the odds were higher, or I should say better, that Matt James would no longer be, you know, in that relationship, but he is. And I you know, obviously the audience doesn't know this, but I was rooting for Kelly hard that season. I thought she was the one, sent her off very early because, again,
for Peter's season.
Yes, just because
I remember you liked her.
Wrong. Yeah, not even like, you know, I liked her, I did, but I thought they were the best connection. They were both same age, working people. Like, I thought they just would fit. Yeah. Where his season, I felt, were a lot of younger women, where he didn't connect on that level, mainly because that too. I mean, not to slam him at all, but the last two Bachelors, there's been like, you just want like, oh geez, like you're just reiterating yourself. Yeah. Like, that's what's been so refreshing about. And again, I didn't.
They haven't been great. Really haven't.
I haven't caught, I didn't catch most of Katie's Bachelorette, but she's like really just a breath of fresh air. And Michelle is the same way, where I feel like you have these cookie cutter Bachelors and these Bachelorettes who are like, they're entertaining, but they have they have something to say too in certain issues. And it's a good thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's all I can think of in terms of news and like Bachelor Nation, but pretty much wraps it up here on After the Final Rose with Alana and Dante. But this week, with John and Dante.
Alana will be back next week because the ratings are just going to go.
We
got to bring back Alana. I know what the people want. It's the dynamic duo, and I understand that, but I'm glad I was a guest this week.
I mean, if it goes up, I might have to kick her off, because then we know the issue. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at ATFR_podcast, as well as on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, other podcast streaming platforms. Make sure to hit the like button or follow button on those podcast streaming platforms so you know when new podcasts are posted, as well as whatever's going on in terms of our podcast. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you to John for coming on. It was a blast, as always. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.